and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the InnerTubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guest's website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the fabulous blog, Comedy Obscura, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, write a review, help us get up there in the top 10 where you've never put us. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I'll excommunicate you from atheism.
You can't do that.
You're out.
Out of what?
You're no longer an atheist.
Of course I am.
Is there a God?
Of course. Hey!
Where's your God now?
Apparently he's in heaven. Damn it!
Go subscribe!
Hallelujah!
We only got two rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if your listener's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content. And certainly has nothing for you, Donald Trump. Fucking cunt. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Alonzo Bowden and Matt Kirshen. You know these guys
from Showbiz.
Woo!
Thanks for being here, guys.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Okay, you can go now.
Here. We've had him
all
once.
Right, we're done.
We had you over for Skeptically Yours a couple months ago.
Yeah, I did the... I did that one. I did some scientific one. I can't keep track.
Yeah.
I've talked to you before.
Matt's show.
We're back.
Matt's show is
probably
is
science.
So fucking good. Yeah. Probably science. I know you've done that show.
Yeah.
And somebody recently said doing podcasts is the new jury duty.
Well, it's not bad.
It's not bad at all, is it?
Bad.
Not
at all. I was going to say, well, but yeah, okay.
you have to do them.
You got it. Well, you want to pick the ones that have an audience. I mean, there's a value in it.
Yeah, there can be, but you never know. Although last night I did Corollas.
So well, that's
that
huge.
That's the big one. Yeah,
yeah.
That's the radio show.
Pendulette and Corolla have huge audiences.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Millions.
And now you're here. How does it feel?
Oh, it's the same thing.
No.
Same thing.
Same thing. Minus 2, 3, 5 million listeners. Other than that,
we get 50,000 downloads a month.
Yeah.
Roughly.
So, like I said, other than you missed by 5 million.
Yeah.
But other than that,
that's
no. Nice. I mean, but Adam was. You know, Adam's a smart guy. I mean, and when it comes to marketing, he's very smart. And all he did was take his radio show to the podcast. Like his last radio show was like, okay, we're going to be podcasting. Come on over. And it was. I think it was a smarter move than Stern because they didn't have to subscribe to, you know, Sirius XM radio or anything like that. All you had to do was start downloading the podcast, and his fans did. They followed him over. So
I think Stern's the reason XM survived. I mean, it was just...
No. You know, XM, I know a lot of people who work there, and I know some people on the business side. What XM did that helped them, but they did it too late, was give it to you free in your new car.
Right.
Because once people have it, they'll keep it. Like, it's hard to sell. It's hard to talk people into paying for radio, right?
That
even
which
though
we've
it's
never
cheap,
paid for ever.
Right.
Yeah, even though it's cheap, it's still like, yeah, I don't want to pay. But if you buy a car and you have XM for, you know, 3 months or 6 months, you're going to keep it. You're not going to go back to like, wait a minute, I was listening, because you can listen to exactly what you want. You know, that's the advantage of XM. Like, I want to listen to progressive news talk, or I want to listen to 80s R&B music, or I want to listen to jazz. You know, I mean, that's how XM works. So, so no, Stern didn't save it. I mean, obviously, he brought a lot of subscribers, but I think they lost money because they gave away the farm to get him.
Yeah.
They gave him a ton of money.
Well, they also,
and
at one point, they gave a bunch of money to Oprah.
Yeah, I don't know how that deal worked, but the Stern deal, they gave a lot of money. But, you know, it's doing all right. I don't know if it's turning a profit, but they're staying in business.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't get to listen to Stern anymore.
Well, you got to get XM Radio, I guess.
Yeah, I would.
But isn't there talk of him leaving that now and doing something else?
I would hope so. I don't know why he even bothers with talking into a microphone anymore. He's just a superstar now.
Yeah.
America's Got Talent, and he's more than a household name. I mean, he's...
Yeah. But I don't know if he's as big now as he was
when he was first
when
on
his
the radio.
Radio show, when his radio show peaked, like right before he went to satellite radio, I think he was a bigger name then than now.
Yeah.
I wish he would do maybe a late night show, talk show or something like that.
I don't think he could do it.
No.
I don't think he's
not cut for
that. I mean, they used to simulcast him on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about being a late night host, Leno told me this once, and he told me this is why it didn't work for Conan. Because you have to remember the guest is the star. And I don't know that, you know what I mean? Like, Howard Stern is a great interviewer, but when you do late night TV and someone comes on and they just want to show their movie clip and tell a few jokes, you know what
right,
I mean? That
right.
not get into a real interview or whatever, you have to play along.
Oh, well.
Know? So, well, I don't know.
He should
I'm
just
sure
buy his own show and do it his own way.
He should just keep doing what he's doing. You know what I mean? Like, what's wrong with being Howard Stern right now? You got a radio show with millions of followers. Like you said, you got America's Got Talent.
Right.
And we're talking about him on this podcast.
Right.
Damn
right.
It, shit. He's made it.
Well, and you mentioned Conan. Don't you think Conan's successful? I mean, he's got a successful
financially successful. Artistically, no.
I see.
No. He failed on the Tonight Show. He did something that no one has ever done with The Tonight Show. It lost money when he was the host. That's why they got rid of him.
I see. I did not know that.
The Tonight Show has never lost money in, 50 years? Or whatever. I mean, it's NBC's top show.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people didn't like Leno, but make no mistake, Leno was the franchise. That
well, I
was
remember
the big
when,
show.
I remember when Leno took it over.
Yeah.
I was booked to work at Zany's in Chicago, and it was news that he had gotten it. But he was doing some road stuff and some charity stuff. So what happened was they asked if I would step down to the middle spot and give up my headline slot for two nights. Might have been one night. 'Cause Leno was coming in for a fundraiser for the unemployed. Unemployment was really high at that point. And it was amazing. I mean, we sat in the green room. A bunch of comics sat in the green room with him. Eating up every second, every word that he had to say.
Yeah.
And he's an insanely smart guy.
Well,
insanely
you know, I'm obviously biased because he had me on the show quite a bit. I did like 7 or 8 appearances over the years on his show.
Yeah.
But I will say, when I did the other shows, like, he was the nicest guy. He was the guy who came up to you before the show.
And talked to you.
And talked with you, you know, in the green room and stuff like that. But also, he's a comic. You know, I saw him 3 weeks ago. There was a charity motorcycle thing, and it took off from his garage in Burbank where he keeps his car collection and stuff, you know. And I'm talking to him. So what have you been up to, Jay? Oh, I just finished doing 45 dates. Like, he is a comic. He's also
an edgy comic in the clubs.
Yeah.
He's not the TV guy that we think of.
I always thought Chris Titus had a great line about Leno, you know, when people were knocking him and, oh, Leno's not funny, this or that, blah, blah, blah. And Titus was, what? You think it was an accident he got the Tonight Show? Like, at that time, he was doing 300 dates a year.
Yeah.
He was literally the hardest working comic in the world. It's not like they just said, well, let's just give it to him. So, you know, he earned it. He's a great comic. But
he also fought for it. I mean,
what's
he fucking
funny
went
to
after
me,
it.
What's funny to me, though, is how he's still a comic. Like, when you did the show, he would ask you about clubs, and you mentioned, you know, the Chuckle Hut in Boise, Idaho or something, and he remembered who booked it.
Right.
You're like, oh, is Mary Lou still booking that club? You're like, shit, what? You still know that?
Right.
You know, so.
Your Leno impression is awful.
Yeah. I'm not an impressionist. I've never been hired to do impressions.
I could do Leno. I could do, let's see, here we go. Is Mary Lou still, no, that's
yeah,
still
that was it. That's exactly how he sounds when he's doing a bad walk.
She's still running that gig.
You only do Christopher Walken.
It's the only one I can do.
You only do
and
Christopher
Walken. And you know
Walken.
Something? After hanging out with Jay Leno, with Jay Moore, it's like I can't – no one else can do Walken. You know, I mean, Jay
– oh, I know,
Jay
right?
Does, Jay did Walken with Walken.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear that?
No.
About that? They did a movie together. What was it called? The Kings or something like that? And Suicide Kings. Yeah, and him
Ryan
and
knew that. Way
he did Walken with Walken, which had to be hilarious.
That's incredible.
Yeah. That was like when Eddie Murphy did Stevie Wonder with Stevie Wonder on Saturday Night
Live. Right.
And he's correcting him. He's like, no, that's not how Stevie does it. Stevie does that. That, that shit was hilarious. If you're listening and you haven't seen that, Google that clip. Because when he's showing Stevie Wonder how to do Stevie Wonder, that was hilarious.
So I'm excited to have you on the Atheist Show because I'm curious. I want to talk about religion. We can talk showbiz. And by the way, yeah. I have another topic, a showbiz topic we'll cover a little bit when we pull Matt into this discussion. You sit tight, Matt.
He is awfully quiet these days.
Fuck Matt.
You can't reach the mic. The mic's at grown up height.
Ryan will adjust his mic there, and we'll get him in the conversation soon. How were you raised, and what do you believe?
Raised, well, sort of a combination. Lutheran church and my grandmother's in South Carolina, Baptist church. Now I believe, what happened was, I've been sober. I've been clean and sober 27 years.
Wow.
So, you know, the...
Did you go through the AA thing?
Yeah. So the idea of a higher power works for me. I'm cool with that. I believe in God. I don't believe in religion. Raised with that, you know, old white man God picture on the wall, which is, when you're raised with it, it's hard to get that out of your head.
Yeah.
You know, so...
It's kind of bizarre when you think
about
it. So
I don't believe it, but it's there, if that makes sense, because it's imprinted at a young age or whatever, you know. But at my best, I believe spirituality is in creativity. And I do believe there is something that connects us all, but it's everyone's own business, you know what I mean? Like, that's my problem with religion, when you get into thou shalt and thou shalt not, and people telling you what you should do and what's right and what's wrong, you know. And invariably, I mean, we were talking about it before the show, but invariably, whenever you have some public speaker, like I did it on my last Showtime special, you know, the guy yelling the loudest about gay marriage, I guarantee he's gay. You know, and it's always that case. Whoever's yelling about something, well, you know, it doesn't, it, like,
well,
there's
so
about many
family
cases
values.
Of it. Well, you could say that for every Republican candidate.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Newt Gingrich is talking about family values, except when you dump your wife on her hospital bed while she's dying.
Right.
What's his name? McCain did the same thing, you know, traded in his wife for a newer, richer model. I mean, it's what they do. So they're all hypocritical when it comes to that. It's comical that they even bring it up.
Yeah.
But they my thing, the thing I don't understand is, when you know you've done this, why bring it up?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know that you've had gay experiences,
affairs,
or you've cheated on your wife, or you've been divorced four times.
You fucked your sister.
So if you've been divorced four times, let's not bring up the sanctity of marriage. Let's skip to the economy.
And yet they do it. They do it with
do
a straight
it.
Face,
and
ironically.
But their followers do it. You know, there's a joke, like, the hardest place to find a Baptist is like in a gambling hall or something like that, where no one admits it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'll give you a great example. There's casinos in Mesquite, Nevada. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but Mesquite is about 100 miles from Vegas, and it's right below the Utah border.
Been there.
Full of Mormons.
Right.
Full of Mormons. They jump across that border from Utah to Nevada. They have a ball. Then they jump back into Utah, and now I'm Mormon again. And again, it's not everyone. That's the other the thing I think is bad for religion, is that there are a lot of good religious people. Like during Katrina, you know, the churches were one of the first to respond. But those are the real Christians. Those aren't the people in what I call the business of Christianity. Those aren't the people yelling that you're a sinner and you're going to hell and this and that. Those are the people that are saying, yeah, people are dying, so I came to help them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and that's where religion is good, and it provides comfort to a lot of people. So I don't knock it in that respect, but when they try to inject it into our politics, or when that artificial morality is hung on to people, that's when I can't stand religion.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing about the whole process of fighting against the gay rights is that they're using, first of all, Old Testament scripture,
yes.
Right? And right alongside the same scripture, they too are guilty of these sins, as you just outlined with the list of things that people do, with the divorcing and the gay sex themselves. But fuck that. I mean, even if they're not having gay sex, the divorcing and the all of the shit that goes down, it's It's in the same exact scripture in Leviticus.
Yeah, well, I think we've all seen that internet, that thing about, you know, if you don't like gay marriage, well, my sister is unclean, so I had to stone her.
Yes.
And I can't talk to this woman.
That was like a letter to Dr. Laura.
Right, right. We've all seen it. And there was a guy who I know who's like a right-wing Christian who tried to explain all of that, you know, like why this is okay, but that isn't okay, and blah, but at the end of the day, it's all hypocrisy. And the thing that this is the thing that gets me, it's the bankers, because like Jesus called out the money changers by name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He said there's no one else that Jesus said, yeah, you bankers, I specifically don't like you. Like, that's the group I don't want to be in.
Right.
You know, I don't want to be in the group that Jesus named specifically. I don't want to be a money changer.
Right. Can I just butt in here for a second?
No, not now. We got to take a break. All right. Thanks a lot. We'll get back to you. Sorry, man. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available to the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album, Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery. That's G-U-M as in Mr. Telephone Man. ROAD.com/Emery, and buy the damn thing.
Did you add that in? I didn't add one in.
I did it.
Very funny. Of course, Josh Duggar has an Ashley Madison account. He only has 4 kids, and he didn't want to completely wreck his wife's uterus.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids, remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's 2 hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll come. And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Alonzo Bowden and Matt Kirshen. I'm sorry, Matt, I interrupted you there. We didn't even...
You interrupted him while he was interrupting.
Yeah, I did.
I know, I've lost my train of thought. But here's the one thing I was just wondering. Was Jesus really that opposed to the bankers? Or was he just in debt?
Or was he just pissed off that day?
Nah, Jesus wasn't in debt. All he had was sandals and a staff. He didn't have to borrow money to get that. Like he had followers.
That's a good point. And he had his wine and loads of fish business.
When you can convert water to wine, you're never broke. When you can convert water to wine,
Do you think Jesus is real?
I need a few shekels. Hey, somebody give me some water.
Do you think Jesus is real, or do you think it's just a story?
It's funny you mention that. I rode my motorcycle across the country earlier this year.
That must have hurt.
No, it was phenomenal.
You love it?
It was an amazing trip. I'm glad I did it. But when you get to the middle of the country, like when you come down out of Colorado and you hit like Kansas and Indiana and Ohio, America has a war going on the interstates. There's Jesus and there's porn. Those are the only two billboards you will consistently see on any interstate in America. And one of the billboards that you see periodically, it's just up there, it just says, Jesus is real. And I'm like, who are you talking to? Because if you believe in Jesus, right, then he's already real to you.
Right.
If you don't believe in Jesus, it's not like you're going to see a billboard and say, damn, I got to rethink my entire life right now. And I'm riding along thinking of the billboard. And I said, wait a minute, I'm thinking about this billboard. They got me. You know, I think it may have been a real person as a prophet or this. I don't know. Like, it doesn't matter to me. I think the stories, though, are parallel. Any religious story, you know, whether you look at Jesus or Muhammad or Buddha or any, it was like there was somebody who was really nice telling you to be really nice. You know what I mean? That's the basic story, telling you be good to other people and try to, you know, I don't know, raise your values above what's
such a revolutionary idea that person gets heralded as a prophet.
Right, exactly. Well,
Wait a second.
You know,
be nice?
So that's what I believe. I don't know. A friend of mine has a line in a song that I've always thought was the greatest line I ever heard about Jesus. He said, I'm thanking you, Jesus, for the way you make my mama feel.
Yeah.
And I think that's great because my mom is like a religious woman going to church all her life, this or that, and it works for her. So good. So that's good.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me whether I believe it. Again, there are good people who believe it, but obviously the hypocrites and the ones who are using it for power and control and all of that, you know.
They better hope
that there isn't like a Jesus and a judgment day and all.
Right.
Like can you imagine being Dick Cheney on judgment day? Like that would be, you'd be, listen.
It's the Dick Cheneys of the world
God
that make
like,
me hope there is a judgment day. That's why I hope there is. But
if you were Jesus with Cheney on judgment day, you'd almost find out, it would almost be like when a gang finds out someone's a mole. Like you pretended to be one of us, and you were doing this all along.
I would.
You've been wearing our colors. You were at my wedding.
If I'm Jesus and Cheney shows up, the first thing out of my mouth, normally I forgive.
Yeah. The fact though is, when you read the Bible, Jesus wasn't all a good guy. He wasn't preaching just good stuff. That's actually a falsehood. And most people believe it as an idea, as stories go, and as preachers speak. People are led to believe that was what the Bible says about Jesus.
Same thing about the regular Bible. People will go, "Oh, all these good things in the Bible,"
yeah,
when
no,
there's still a bunch of fucked up shit in the Bible.
I mean, there's slavery and torture and killing and you know, the Bible's a great soap opera. You know,
yes.
There's everything in there. But
Luke 12:47, the servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows.
Right,
that's not Jesus-like.
That's the problem with the Bible, though. That's the problem with people who use the Bible. You can find a Bible verse to back up anything. And that's what people will do. So, you know, during times of slavery, they used the Bible to justify slavery. And then when the slaves were freed, they used the Bible to justify segregation. They've used the Bible to justify, you know, misogyny and mistreatment of women and
front
and
to
so
back,
on
and I
so
can't
on.
Find a single verse that supports double fisting. So I'm not sure you're right.
Well, you haven't read it right. You have to learn what interpretation is about.
Exactly.
Go to the sheep section.
Nostradamus thing. It's the same thing. You can make it mean whatever you need.
Yeah, it's a Rorschach book.
A Rorschach,
Rorschach book.
Yeah. Here, grab that that picture there, Matt. I got this as a gift from someone. I won't name who, but it's this is from the Philippines. I don't know if that's there we go.
This is this is legit. This isn't one of, because you've got a lot of kitschy fake.
Yeah, no,
stuff.
this is real. This is people in the Philippines print this and sell it to each other and to tourists and other people, and they really this is not satire.
What is it?
Yeah. Okay,
oh,
for the radio.
Oh, right, 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 right. I'm sorry. I forgot. So we don't do mostly, we do just radio.
It's someone who looks
a lot like Jesus, but not
quite.
I'm
going to say it's more of a sort of Jared Leto kind of look.
Okay.
In a basketball gear with a basketball in his hand.
A golden basketball.
Well, is it? It's pretty basketball colored.
No, that's a basketball.
Yeah.
The shirt says Superstar 1. underneath it says Emmanuel, and the caption is One on One with the Lord.
Yeah,
And this is a painting. You know, maybe. It's got a star behind him, and it says at the bottom at least painter. This is a member of the clergy has painted this.
Yeah,
yeah. See, the problem with that is if you're playing ball and you're going one on one with the Lord, there's no way you're gonna pick a white guy. That ain't gonna happen. I'm sorry. Call me racist or whatever you want, but there is no way I gotta go one on one with the Lord. I'ma pick a white guy, not with LeBron walking around.
Is it true the white lords can't save?
But I'm bummed.
White lords can. Yeah, Friar Armand A. Tangi, SSP, painted that. So
and again, it's the same. Right, yeah. It's always the same picture, right? The long-haired, bearded
white guy.
Well, that's the
white
thing
guy.
That blows me about the black community buying
it blows
into
you.
This bullshit. Just blows my mind. Did I not say?
Well,
blows
you have to remember that the black community was brought here from Africa. All of their culture and history was destroyed, and this is what they were given.
They didn't come here for a new life?
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
Well, they kind of did.
No, I mean, people don't understand. You really have to look into the devastation of culture when you say, why do they believe it? Because they were literally beaten into believing it. It was they destroyed your entire history. It's one of the things white people can't comprehend.
Yeah.
White people cannot comprehend not knowing anything of your history, not knowing anything about you had your own countries, you had your own languages, you had your own culture, you had your own spirituality, all gone, completely taken away.
Reset.
And then this thing thrust upon you, literally, you are chained, you are beaten, your families are pulled apart, you're killed, you're abused in every way possible. And then they're like, what else are you going to do? So why do black people believe in Christianity? Because it was literally thrust upon them, beaten into them, and so on. And they didn't have anything prior to that. They have no connection to it. So
so
that's why. The other reason is the black church was the only place black people could talk. It was the only place black people could go. It was like the social gathering place. You went to church, and it wasn't just about, you know, the religion. It was talking. It was history. You ask a black family where they come from, especially in the South, and like George Wallace says, all black people are from the South, but they open up the Bible.
Yeah.
And,
what do you think?
The Bible is where you see the parents, then the grandparents, and the great-grandparents, and the great-great-grandparents, and so on and so forth. That's where that's where they kept the pictures and the documents, when it was documented, and so on.
What do you think black people's excuse is now, though?
It's not an excuse. There's no need to make an excuse. It's the history. You're not going to suddenly say, okay, it's 1976, we're going to give up Christianity. Not when your mother taught you and your grandmother taught you. And, you have to look at where it's coming from. It's not like they just woke up and said, we're doing it. This is, if you go, especially black Southern culture, it still comes from the church.
Yeah.
The church is still the gathering place. The church and the barbershop. Those are the two
it
spots,
is the barbershop,
right?
Is it? Yeah.
So when you say, what's it? There's no excuse. There's no need for an excuse. It's the reality that this is the history. And you cannot... what you're saying to do is telling black people, okay, you've grown up, you're of a certain age, you've learned this or whatever. Now ignore everything your family taught you. Some can do it and some do it, but it's not necessarily an easy thing to do.
Oh, I know it's not easy. I just feel like you know, do people care if what they believe is true, and don't they want to know the reality of where things come from and where their beliefs actually originate?
Well, again, you can research that, but that's the thing with religion. Like, I have a friend who's a right-wing Christian, right? And we will sometimes get into these debates or whatever, and at some point he will say, well, Jesus said, or well, the Bible said, and that's where the debate is over, because now you're talking about belief. And when faith. You talk about belief and faith, you can't argue, you can't say that this isn't true, but you in other words, you can never prove it, but if a person truly believes it, you can't disprove it to that person.
Right. Well, it's Heather always asks that question. You had said earlier that you didn't really care when you were talking about whether or not there was a God, whether or not Jesus was an accurate story. And do you find yourself thinking about that? Does the truth of whether or not there's a God matter to you? And I know that's a tough question to be asking you, especially since...
Well, I have my own beliefs, but I don't expect anyone else to believe what I believe. I don't push my beliefs on anybody, and I don't try to poke holes in anyone else's beliefs.
Yeah.
I'm just like, just keep your religion out of my politics. In other words, I don't want to deal with laws based on someone's religious beliefs.
Yeah.
You know, but you're entitled to your religious beliefs, and if you want to live by them, then that's fine, but don't try to make everyone live by them.
They all do. I mean, generally speaking,
yeah, well,
they all do that. Mm, that's my problem with religion.
I don't know that they... No, I wouldn't say they all do. I would say that's very much in the United States...
I know it's a generalization.
In the United States, it's very much a Christian thing, and Islam obviously has it. But I've never seen a Buddhist really pushing you to be Buddhist. You know what I mean? Like, that's not... I've never had a Jewish person... push Judaism.
Judaism is actively non-evangelical.
You know. No, it's racist.
yeah, and I say that as someone who's raised Jewish. It's actively difficult to become Jewish.
Like, right.
It's the only way in which Judaism is evangelical, and I've experienced this, but you wouldn't have done, is it's evangelical within the religion. So there are groups of certain sects of Jewish people. Who their mission
proselytize to the
yeah their mission is
moderates.
To try and make more secular Jews
right.
less like more right. observant
right right
and that definitely does exist.
I wonder if there's a Buddhist that's bugging people to become Buddhist. That's got me thinking.
What are Hare Krishnas?
Yeah, that's the one that came to mind. They're Buddhists, right?
Are they? I don't think so.
Maybe
no,
not.
No.
You're
I
listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available to the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption. We have a premium ad-free service. That's right, we already give you the free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90 minutes. It's only $10 per year. That's right, we have this other option. Also, if you don't want to do that, you can choose the pay more if you want button. If you want to give us more money, we'll give away some subscriptions to the needy. I do it every month. If you can't afford $10, drop me an email. We'll hook you up because some people give us more. So be generous if you can afford it. Support the show. Please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. Why did the televangelist cross the road?
Why?
To fuck even more people out of money.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids, remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll come. Back to ardent atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Alonzo Bowden and Matt Kirshen, who's waiting tables for us today. Thanks for being
check,
here, guys.
Check, please.
Yeah, check, please. During the break, I had mentioned that I wanted to talk about a really good documentary. Kamara, what's his first name?
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah Kamara. Go check it out. Google this if you get the chance, listeners. If you haven't heard of it, I think you probably have. But it's called Contradiction, and it's about the churches taking so much money from the black communities, and the banks are involved in this. I mean, it's white bankers that are really driving this unbelievable system to just fleece people, and we're talking about really poor people.
Yeah, but that's not new. That's not news. One of the things especially the black mega churches, that they taught their believers that their leaders are supposed to be, you know, surrounded in luxury. I mean, there was Reverend Ike. I don't know if you ever heard of Reverend Ike. See, Reverend Ike was back in the 70s in New York, and Reverend Ike lived like a pimp. Mm-hmm. Reverend Ike drove a Rolls Royce. Reverend Ike wore diamonds and furs and this and that. And his believers in his church, he had them believing that he was supposed to have that. And
well, that's exactly the same thing the Pope does. Like, if you look at Vatican City, the whole, like,
right.
They believe that this opulence is honoring the Lord.
And you know who else does that? The lottery.
What?
The lottery does that. Who buys lottery tickets? Poor people buy lottery tickets.
Yeah.
Rich people don't buy lottery tickets.
Yeah.
Poor people buy and spend millions, if not billions of dollars on lottery tickets, thinking that one day it's going to hit and I'm going to be a millionaire. And it's the same thing as poor people going to church and them telling you, well, if you give us your money, you know, God will give you blah, 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 or take care of you after you die or whatever. You know, it's not. That's why I said it's nothing new. This game isn't new. This is an old con.
Goes way back.
Yeah, this is an
old
con.
They don't deserve anything. And some religious people even pray that prayer. Oh, Lord, I know
I'm not
worthy.
This is him. This is
Reverend Dyke, yeah.
He looks a bit like James Brown.
I told you, Reverend Ike was. This was old pimp stuff, man. This is the 70s.
On national television.
He makes pimping look easy.
How many of you
easy.
Ever prayed a prayer like that? Lord, I know I'm not worthy.
Yeah, for the listeners, non-watchers, he's wearing a black shirt,
chicken,
like a kind of salmon jacket, and matching bow tie. A
lot of rings.
Hair is kind
of
processed.
Was that
heavily processed?
Now I know the truth, and I'm free.
Oh, the shirt's ruffled.
But
as well.
Listen,
yeah.
Anything that you don't feel you're worthy of,
and a
you can't
hole.
Have.
It's got like
there
a carnation. But this is—it's also—it's not just the con and the aspiration. I think it's come up in many, many studies that the poorer someone is, the more likely they are to give a good proportion of their income to charity. Like rich
right.
people, like it. Poorer people are consistently more generous.
Well, the pitch is the more you give, the more you get back. That's how that works.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's also, the poorer people in general are more empathetic.
That's true. And that, I would say that's true.
Less removed from the people they're potentially helping.
And if you look at on the other side, if you look on the con side, the Republican Party, the trickle-down theory is an example of this, right? When you have poor white people voting against estate taxes as if they have an estate.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
the American
and all of that.
Has anyone ever made the argument that it's just a theory?
What? Yeah. Well, yeah. No. You know why? Because if you're in the 1%, it's not a theory. It worked.
For them, yes.
Yeah, it worked. It's trickle-down theory is not a theory.
But it doesn't work in the way that Reagan suggested.
No, but it was never intended to. You know, it was never intended to.
It was a grift.
Yeah. I think there's nothing more damaging for America than the American dream. The idea that's built into America that anyone could be president and anyone could make it is exactly what makes people vote against the things that will help them actually do that.
Yeah. I thought I was going to have $1 million by the time I was 30. There was no question in my mind. I was conditioned to believe that was possible.
Although, and it is possible, but a lot of that was gutted when that America was gutted. You know, if you look at that American dream America, which was the post-World War II baby boomer generation, that did exist. It wasn't about being a millionaire. It wasn't about being president.
It was about
living better than your parents did. Right. And that's when suddenly public schools were good and kids could stay in school. You didn't have to drop out of school to work on a farm and stuff like that. And
you could pay a mortgage and send your kid through college on one person's income.
Right. And so it did work. But in the 70s, it started crumbling in the 70s. It definitely crumbled in the 80s when they did away with manufacturing, when they did away with union labor, when they did away, you know, with all of the things that made that possible for the middle class. That's when the American dream was gutted.
Dream was gutted when I was in elementary school, and I knew I'd never be rich.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I grew up poor, and, you know, these...
Yeah, if you grow up poor, and I read a study about this recently, but it's like the odds are so stacked against you making it out of poverty. You know, like, in other words, if you grow up middle class, the odds are good you can get to upper middle class.
Yes.
If you're upper middle class, then the odds are good you're going to get rich. But if you're poor because... you're going to have substandard schools, you're going to have substandard health care, you're going to have substandard food, et cetera, et cetera. So, in every way, the odds are stacked against you. And that's why, and this is a thing they use in the black community, and I forget the exact name of it, for it, but what they do, it's basically the superstar. That's what they use as an example. They pick the superstar and they say, well, look, he did it.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, but he's extraordinarily talented, or he or she was extraordinarily smart. Yeah. That person wasn't average.
Or he's Chinese and was forced to work since he was on his talent. Since
he's immune to itis.
It's the one exception. Yeah, they're the extreme of the bell curve. They're the outlier.
Right. And they're the outlier. And they say, well, if he did it, anyone can do it. You know, anyone can be Tiger Woods. Like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
No, even
literally
if you
one
work,
person, even Tiger Woods
even
can't
if you
be Tiger
worked
Woods right
as
now.
Hard. Right. Even if you worked as hard as he did, if you didn't have the natural talent that he had to start with, you know, like it was like a joke he did in early in his career. He had this really funny commercial, like it was how to hit the ball 300 yards out of the sand, and it was like, well, first hit the ball 300 yards. Okay, that eliminates you. That eliminates 98% of, you know, golfers or whatever. So but they use those examples. So they use, you know, one of the things they hate, it's funny you mention the American dream, and it's one of the things they hate about Barack Obama. He is the American dream. And there's nothing more than the extreme or the racist white or the Republican. There's nothing more that they hate than the fact that, damn, he did it.
Yeah.
He went to school and worked his way up and became president. Shit! It wasn't supposed to happen.
Not everybody
him.
Can do it.
Right. It but wasn't hadn't supposed even, to, you know.
Hadn't occurred to me until you pointed it out just then, though, the flip side of that, where as much as the Republicans are like, damn, he did it, like, if you're a part of the African-American community and you've grown up in a shitty neighborhood and you have very, very few hopes, and you suddenly have this being held up as like, you see, you are lazy. You're not working because this guy did it.
No, he didn't provide that. He provided hope. Like, I used to do a bit about it. You know what Barack Obama did? He made it safe to be a nerd. Like, the thug was like, you know, I was about to whip your ass, but I may need a pardon one day. So you are right, because one day I'm going to need you. And you know, an even bigger example of this, and this is something that people don't recognize, but I'm just fortunate that my parents were around in this era and they talked to me about it. People don't realize Jackie Robinson, just how big Jackie Robinson was. Because baseball at that time, like you think the NFL is big. At that time, baseball was it. Baseball was the sport. There was nobody gave a shit about football, basketball, whatever. And he broke the color line. And, you know, you had all of Black America was like, this is our hero. Imagine just being that one person that all Black people in America are looking to you, and all, not all, but a large majority of white people are looking to you to fail. And he had to carry all of that, and he did it. That, in some ways, he was bigger than Barack Obama because the odds were so much more stacked against him.
Right.
You know, they can't call Barack Obama nigger publicly while he's, you know what I mean? They can't do it while he's campaigning, right? But Jackie, that was it. It was like, can you imagine if you're on the team and they're like, no, you can't stay in the hotel. You got to go through the kitchen and then you got to sleep somewhere. And then you get on the field and you're better than all of them.
Right.
You know, that was the amazing thing. It was like Jackie couldn't be average.
Right.
Jackie Robinson couldn't have a bad day. Jackie Robinson had to dominate.
He had to
every
be super
day.
Exceptional.
Yeah, so those are the guys who provide hope because they showed that you could do it. You
right.
know?
Right. We have a clip of Jackie here, I think.
And who was healed? And she was taught by me and many of our services that we deserve the best.
Oh, no, I think that's Reverend Ike again.
Reverend Ike.
Yeah, that's Reverend Ike. I'm completely
I don't know
wrong.
How you guys hadn't heard of Reverend Ike. Reverend Ike is old school.
I had
man.
Heard of Reverend Ike.
Reverend Ike was getting paid in the 70s. Brothers was looking for Cadillacs, and he had a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, no.
Reverend Ike was the man.
I do remember Reverend Ike. It's been a while. But
Before any of these guys ran the con, Reverend Ike was running the con.
He was the first.
The Pope was asking Reverend Ike how to make money.
Yeah, you're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available to the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Prison Bottom, Dylan Brody, Mayan Nagrong. Nagrong?
Nagrong?
Carl Barrett, Digital Psyche, Joel Mountain, Mouton. Greg, Jonathan Parker,
Mouton.
Kyle Delaney, Dan Gilman, Zingaman, Sasha Luna, Perry, Dilioliola, Fucktown, LaGyver, Sixball, Matthew Ty, and Joe Swam. These were some of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
And now back to Ardent Atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Alonzo Bowden and Matt Kirshen. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Hey, I was going to say as well as Jackie Robinson before that, Jesse Owens in the 100 meter in the Olympics, and that there was an interesting thing.
I think we have a goodness of God. Jesse Owens here. No,
that's him again. That's Reverend again.
Reverend again. Sorry.
we had a on Probably Science a while ago. We had a guy who wrote this book, The Sports Gene, which is about the genetic component to how much of sports is genetic. And one of the things I didn't realize is there was a switch in the psyche of racists. They had to completely change tack. Once Jesse Owens and once various other black athletes started to just dominate in sports, what it was, they still managed to stay racist, but they just switched the way in which they were racist. So it used to be like the Hitler ideal was, well, the white Superman, and someone will dominate in all fields, in art, in music, in science, in literature, and in sports. And then that started to not happen. So then they had to just recalibrate to go like, oh, well, obviously the black people are winning sports because they are lesser than us. Like, that's a physical thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really?
They completely...
Wow.
They sort of pivoted the racism.
Well, the funny thing about Jesse Owens was when Jesse Owens was beating the Germans in the Olympics, he was American.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
He was American for those, you know, at least for those 11 seconds.
Yeah.
Right.
you know?
Also, just the Jews were cheering him along.
Yeah.
Like everyone.
Yeah. He was just an American.
There's a story
that's not Jesse.
No. This isn't Jesse. There's a story that Heather found. This is the second time I've heard this story in recent weeks, actually.
With different people.
Yeah, two different people that I know that this has happened to. A church has kicked someone out for not tithing again. This blows my fucking mind. It absolutely just shocks me. Here's the story.
She says she was kicked out of Bainbridge's First African Baptist Church for not tithing. WAOP News 10's Catherine Patterson spoke with a family member who hopes this situation will bring change to churches across the nation.
Josephine King is no longer considered a member of the First African Baptist Church of Bainbridge, Georgia.
Gerald Simmons reads over the letter addressed to his aunt, 92-year-old Josephine King.
92.
The letter, signed by senior pastor Derek Mike, states that Ms. King has shown non-support towards the church in the areas of, quote, constant and consistent financial and physical participation.
She was stunned. She was disappointed. She was shocked.
Simmons says his aunt was considered sick and shut in for several months, which explained her lack of attendance. He also says his aunt has gone above and beyond in the past to financially support the church.
You shouldn't chase the individuals down. You shouldn't do that. You know, if that's the case, you're money hungry.
Simmons says he knows his aunt isn't the first person to receive a letter of removal for not tithing and hopes this story will shed some light on the policy.
So what blows me away is that in this day and age, how do these churches not know that they're going to get this kind of attention when they do this shit? That's what blows me away. When are people going to learn that the social media system alone is all you need to be afraid of to behave?
I don't know. Like, if that story goes viral, which it clearly has, maybe a few people are going to think twice before not tithing.
There you go. They'll learn their lesson.
There's another article where a church sends a woman a collection notice for unpaid.
That was the other
tithes.
Story.
Yeah. Well, why? But here's the thing. Why would you be surprised? And you know and again, this is the problem with religion, with churches. This isn't all churches, but there are definitely churches that are in it for the money. So why would you be surprised that they kicked you out for not giving up the money? You know, do you know Evander Holyfield's story? See, Evander Holyfield, in the course of his career, gave over $20 million to his church. When his house was being repossessed, the church was like, yeah, that's, sorry to hear that.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh. $20 million.
Yeah. But,
and then no help from them.
No help. Yeah. But it was some mega church that was, you know, they're in it. If they're in it for the money, why be surprised?
We'll talk about being in it for the money. Do you watch John Oliver's show at all?
Not regularly, but yeah, I love it. It's a great show.
Man,
I watch
it's a good
it when
show.
I can.
You know,
it's a
they get,
show.
I won't do it justice.
Well,
it was Matt that pointed it out to me.
Well, because they speak the same language.
Yeah, that's the thing. No, Matt pointed out to me. I really hadn't thought about it. And I work in film and television. I don't know why I hadn't thought of it. But he's got an hour, I think. He does an hour. Is that right?
No, I think it's a half hour show. But they don't have any commercial breaks.
No commercials.
Because
it's
HBO.
So they will spend an entire show on some shows are an entire show.
Well, 20 minutes.
On
like, the longest
idea.
They normally
he
do
picks
is
one topic and then he nails it.
It took like I think it took them like 3 or 4 episodes to realize that was their thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they realized, oh, that's our thing. Okay, so we'll do like some other little segments. And then each episode there'll just be one chunk, which you could never do on Comedy Central. Firstly, because various commercial interests wouldn't let you spend that much time on one thing. But also, you've got to split it up with commercials. They don't have that. So they can just go, here is 20 minutes on...
Well, what it really is it's a comedic take on consumer advocacy. I mean, he is a consumer advocacy show, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's, again, I think that's the other, when they realized the other way to distinguish themselves from The Daily Show is they don't have to be topical in the same way. They can be current.
Yeah. Well, that was a joke about last week tonight. I mean, before the show came on, he said that, you know, so if something happened today, I won't mention it.
Right,
because he's, you know, and that's part of the...
But yeah, you're right. It is consumer advocacy.
It really is.
And it's problems with today, but not literally today. It's problems with
current ongoing problems.
He speaks for every man.
Yeah, he does.
You know, every man.
Yeah. So he apparently, the show, decided that they were going to start communicating with Robert Tilden. He's one of those money vampire monsters. And he ran into legal problems a long time ago and kind of disappeared, and then he's back. And they keep
doing
that.
He's a mega churchman.
Again, the thing that amazes but doesn't amaze me.
Popoff?
In the same way. Popoff is a perfect example, but the number of these guys who've been A, debunked, B, convicted of fraud, like whatever, and they somehow managed to resurface in another guise. The number of people who predicted the apocalypse or the end of days, and then the date rolls around, and they're like, actually, no, I did the calculation wrong. It's actually in 3.5 months' time. And they keep doing that.
And getting
every
money.
Time. Every time they can just kind of go like, We're back here, and they're back right back in the game.
All right, we're gonna. I want to play this clip from John Oliver's show, and then we're gonna have to cut to commercial after that. Actually, no, we're gonna have to wrap up the free version of the show, and then we'll talk it out. Talk about it during the premium. But this blew my mind. They sent. They started communicating as if John Oliver is just a member of the church, a member of his congregation, and he wanted to...
And then he sent me another letter with another single dollar bill inside. He told me to put that dollar bill in my Bible for one night and then send it back the next day with 49 more dollars so that he can have it blessed with oil and send me a $1 bill back that has been blessed, adding, I must warn you not to rob God with your tithes and offerings. And then for emphasis, I can't urge you enough, do not let this $1 bill stay in your house. And you know what? I kept that $1 bill because f*** him. That's right. So that one I kept. That one I kept. But that did not stop him. The letters kept on coming. I received another oil packet, more prayer cloths, and even, and this is true, an outline of his foot, which I was asked to trace my foot on and mail back to him with more money. So... as of tonight, I have sent him $319 and received 26 letters. That's almost one a week. And again, this is all hilarious until you imagine these letters being sent to someone who cannot afford what he's asking for. So at this point, I was getting pretty angry and looking for a sign of what to do. So I watched a little more Robert Tilton, and the most amazing thing happened.
There's a person watching me. And you've been very frustrated with your purpose in life.
That might be me, Bob. Because I'm extremely frustrated right now, as it seems my purpose in the last 7 months has been to send you money through the f***ing mail. So I will ask, what's that message that you have for me?
That's so strong just then. Just then, I had a word of knowledge for someone that's really been seeking God, you have, for a particular purpose or decision in your life.
And that is when I realized the message Robert Tilton was sending me was that I should set up my own church to test the legal and financial limits of what religious entities are able to do. So, that is what we have done.
So they are actually... you get what they're doing?
Yeah, he's forming a fake church.
Yeah.
But again, these are the guys, like we were talking about this at the beginning of the show, this Robert Tilden, these are the guys who better hope there isn't a Jesus and a judgment day and all of that, right? You know, they're the ones who like, ooh, wow, I didn't know. When I was running the con, I didn't really expect to meet you.
If you go to Our Lady of Perpetual Exemption.com, you can reach John Oliver's church website.
You can
website.
Join the church. You can do whatever you want there.
It's, yeah. But and again, this is nothing new. This goes back to snake oil salesmen and revival meetings. You know, you got to remember, these guys used to travel with tents.
Well, you know what is
the
new?
Country set up in a town and run the tent and collect all the money and then pack up and head to the next town.
What is new is that millions of younger people are recognizing this.
Yes.
That's what's new.
Yeah, and well, they because communication has increased.
Right. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing.
At first, because communication increased, that meant these sharks can get at more people quicker.
Right.
But I think it is starting to catch up with them.
Yeah. The
what's more amazing is how much it still works and how many young people still believe it.
Yeah.
Well,
The freaking mega churches are full
of
people. Those things
you gotta have a good
it's
band.
Ridiculous.
Well, they're definitely altering their pitch quite a bit. There's this emergent system that's come out that I don't know lot about it. But
have you ever done comedy in a church? Because I know there's a whole circuit of people who
do it. No, I haven't done, quote, Christian comedy. And it's an interesting circuit because for some people, they are Christian and they go to church and they know the Bible. And they, you know, and so on, and like they joke within that framework. But then there are other people like, all right, I won't say fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be a Christian comic tonight. I won't say fuck.
That's not being a Christian comic. Yeah. Brad Stein is a Christian comic. Mm-hmm. That's just being a TV comic.
Yeah.
But they do the church circuit with those rules.
Yeah. And it's big. And it's big because a lot of people in the church won't go to a comedy club because they're either afraid of or don't approve of or don't want to hear what comics are going to say or what they're afraid comics are going to say. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, so they're right. Those things are going to be said.
They go to a Christian comedy show where it's already kind of like they know it's filtered to be what they want it to be.
Yeah. You know? This is happening in the colleges pretty badly. Have you ever done the
colleges? I don't think it's happening pretty badly in colleges. Colleges, yeah, I used to do colleges. You know, colleges.
It's not the Christian reason, thing, though. It's the PC thing.
Right.
I think that's bullshit, though.
The reason that they say that is because they don't want to be sued. That's all. It's just their lawyers tell them, look, you have to be careful what is said because the assumption is that the school sanctioned it because the school hired the comic. So. You know, it's business. But, you know, the whole PC thing in comedy, and tell me, Matt, if you agree with this, I think they talk about it more than it exists. I still don't know of a comic who's sitting around, ooh, I can't say that, that's not PC.
100% agree with you. Firstly, colleges have always been censored gigs. They've always been like a bit of a corporate where you're not meant to say fuck and you're not meant to do sex stuff. Although, having said that, I have successfully in college gigs said, I did a gig where I was relatively off color, and then afterwards had someone afterward go like, oh, that was a few racy things at a few points for a Catholic school, and I was like, oh, it was a Catholic school? I didn't even know.
You're Matt Kirshen, and you're saying that stuff with that fucking adorable accent.
But that's the thing, I think once you're in the gig, they might think that's but you can handle, but students have always been like that.
I did them for 2.5 years. And the things that I'm hearing that are happening to comics these days is not the same as what I was contending with.
No, I disagree. I think
Didn't. When did you do them?
Well, I did them with Craig Anton. I was on a We Can Make You Laugh college tour.
When?
Oh, years. 1991, 92, 93.
Yeah, no social media.
Right.
So that's why you didn't hear about it, because you weren't in contact with every comic in America telling you that, oh, I was at such and such school and this happened.
Yeah, so you think we're measuring it more and we're hearing more.
I think Alonso's completely right. I think you're noticing it more. There might be little pockets of little outrage or whatever, but I think it's the same level of everything that there's always been. The only thing that's different, the only thing that has changed throughout time, is society has changed and the things that you find acceptable has changed. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but what might once be considered a fairly standard man-woman humor would now be thought of as, no, that's pretty misogynistic. And that's not because society's got more sensitive. It's just we think that's bullshit now. Stuff that in the 70s was about race, you wouldn't even blink at. You now go, fuck, that's a racist movie.
And it's also, and then you also have a population of comics who want to be that. You know what I mean? They want to be that bad boy. You have a Doug Stanhope, right? But then there's 100 guys who want to be Doug Stanhope, so they'll try to say something shocking or wrong or whatever.
And have no idea what Doug's really doing.
They have no point. There's no, you know, just like Sarah Silverman, you know, after Sarah Silverman made it big, then you had a bunch of women, oh, he raped me in the cunt and blah, 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 blah. But they were just using words. They weren't, you know what I mean? Yeah. So you have
some cargo cult shock comedy.
Right.
So it's all of the shape of a
cargo cult shock comedy.
Beautiful, beautiful expression. So you have some that are going to go to a school and try to create a problem,
right,
or so that they can say that, you know, the thing about free speech is you can say whatever you want, but there can also be a penalty for it. That's the part people forget. There can be a penalty. You can say it, but there's going to be a penalty for saying it.
But then they can also say, I don't like that you said that.
Right, exactly. if you're working for somebody, and I've had this experience, if you're working for somebody and you say something they don't like, they have the right to fire you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like the guy that got fired for calling himself the N-word?
Yeah.
Did you read about that story?
I know of a comic. There's a famous comic that happened to. He was hired for a gig, and it was a black gig, and they told him, don't say nigger, and he kept saying it, and they shut him down and pulled him off the stage. That's within their right. They're paying him.
No argument there. It's absolutely the case. All right, that's it for the free hour. This has been the free version of 176. That's right, another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
Why'd you wait?
I was late.
Behind me there. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers. very soon. I want to thank our guests, Alonzo Bowden and Matt Kirsch, and I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson. Tune in next week when our guests will be
here,
and we'll be talking about...
That's here nor there.
By the way, did we thank Ryan Magnum?
No, you did not. You skipped over him completely.
Thank
he
our
hates
video switcher,
you now.
Ryan Magnum. Anyway, I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor, The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Jingleheimer-Swam. And our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Single-Weiner-Winters.
Where can people find you, Matt?
Matt Kirshen on all of the social media. Probably Science, my podcast. We're going to be at LA Podfest. Listen to that. Oh, anyone in the Bay Area, Rooster Teeth Feathers, second week of September. Come to that. And I'm going to be at Burning Man. So if you're there, hit me up.
I was going to mention it. Alonzo.
Good for you. Let's see. This weekend, I'm at Tommy T's in Rancho Cordova.
Nice.
Next Friday, the 28th, I'll be at Harrah's San Diego.
And where can people find you on media?
AlonzoBowden.com and on all social media at Alonzo Bowden. I use my real name, B-O-D-D-E-N.
Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.